Hi, I'm Jeff Davis. It's 4 o'clock. It's time for Wordplay on another fine autumnal Sunday afternoon here in Asheville. Joining us today is Marshall Poet. Shall we call you Marshall Poet?
Yes, I think so.
Rose McClarney. All right. Rose, read us a poem.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. The first poem is called Going Down, and it starts with a quote from Flannery O'Connor. The kingdom of heaven is to be taken by violence or not at all. You are so beautiful, it's harmful to a man, he said, as they sat on the steps of a stilled mill at the foot of the Blue Ridge, dynamite blasted red. When he skipped church as a child, a dog bit off his ear. He carried it to the hospital out of sight in its own box, seeing and hearing the evil of loss. While he carried wood, a piece of the pillar of his spine slipped, and the means of making fire flew from his arms. Hit by a car walking home, his collarbone broke, set him free from the hold of his chest. In the workshop, his hands split. The bones gave up the flesh. Much has fled men like him. His are stories to stay away from, so she comes, close, like the sun down south, so-called, down to the damage where she is home. We are so harmed, we are beautiful. The buildings abandoned by paint, the now unfarmed fields, the always broken plates of mountains.
Nice. Yeah. Is that a new one?
It's relatively new.
Pretty new. Yeah. Yeah.
On to the next one?
Yeah. Let's hear another one.
Parallel Cuts is the title of this one. The door front is made of quarter sawn wood, the back from plain sawn, to save expense. One is screwed to the other. The quarter sawn, cut at angles from the log, wastes great amounts of wood to yield pieces of certain grain. The plain sawn, cut across the growth rings, leaves no scraps. Heat rises and the door warps. Wood drinks water from air, as when its fibers were connected, circulating through a thing still living. The door swells in its sill, oak board buckling as a whole weeping willow bows. The builder, unable to open the door, wishes, of course, for better wood, but also wood equally weak. The back is gaping, pulled apart from the front, groaning its own way. All plain sawn suffers the same, fetal or stooped, however frail. It curls together.
Interesting. You've been digging into wood, as it were.
Yes, and lots of an interesting construction for a while there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just the way things go together.
A lot of the original houses around here were actually built that way, with the two, instead of having framed walls, you had lumber basically nailed together from each side. So you had, I don't know that they were quarter sawn and plain sawn, but, you can find old houses still. My sister lives in one up in Irwin, Tennessee, where the walls are basically just two slabs of lumber that are nailed together. So, and it has its hazards.
It does. It does.
How did you come across this bit of information?
There are a lot of people who do woodworking. There's a gallery in downtown Marshall that I've spent time at, and just having a chance to watch the process has been really interesting. I think I could become interested in almost anything that there's a very specific terminology for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the great
sure.
tools and actions and things that go along with woodworking.
Yeah, yeah. It's rich ground.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, read us another one.
All right. This one's called Heart. As a test, pull the lips up, press the gums pale, then release. A healthy goat's vessels refill, the color, the blood rush back. Trim the hooves to stand level, cut back edges, dirt, hard dark to white. But stop before pink, blood and tissue showing through. If I'd been so aware of blood, what moved it, outside my fences, watched for flushing, listened for men's skipped heartbeats. Then goat's eyes turn to mine, the weight when I hold them, all a ribcage contains, and the warmth it can release, wouldn't be so staggering. This beating would bring me to my knees if I weren't already kneeling in the hay.
Today was one where, lost in thought, I really feel I am losing not an ounce of what you see in me, my lamb. And I'm glad I dreamed of what I dream of. Today a thing was burst. If you're not with me tomorrow, that would be the worst. Oh, all around, oh, all around, it's kept together, moving all around. Oh, all around, oh, all around, it's kept together, moving all around. Well, my brain, it beams, it's hear it all in living, I must work. Yeah, work to make our lives here good and not let trouble lurk. And instead of seeing monkeys biting, I lay on the ground while my hectic traveling partner wanders all around. It's kept together by moving all around. Oh, all around. Oh, all around. It's kept together, moving all. All around the left, paddock. All around the right. All around your every curve, I'm going. So only hold me, all the cities on me, and oh, they wish to scold me and lay their hands upon me. But only hold me, and I'll return to you, baby. I just need an evening with someone nice to hide me.
And we're back. Thanks to Sebastian Matthews today for running the boards. I'm Jeff Davis. This is WPVM 103.5 LP in Asheville, North Carolina. And we're sitting today with Rose McLarney and talking about Rose's wonderful new poems. Rose, we've had you on the program before. You were here about a year ago. And at that time, you had not decided to go to an MFA program, and you sort of tentatively...
In fact, I think I said I decided against it.
Against it. But since then, changes, you've decided to go.
Right.
Yes. And so how's that going?
It's going really well. It was an interesting decision for me, I guess, because the conflict for me is the interest in what's most useful, I guess. And so I thought maybe there were other things I should do with my time and money instead of... working on refining my writing. That had been my thought at the time, but then there was a point of realizing where my skill actually lay, and while I might be able to, I might be better off trying to write poems about things that are functional, like, say, building, which we were just talking about, than actually trying to do it myself, because I still can't drive a nail straight. So a lot of it just had to come around to the idea of working on what I actually had innate skill for rather than what was most challenging. And it's been going very well in the Warren Wilson program, mm-hmm. and it's nice to have a local opportunity like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a good program, as we all know, yes. Well, so what have you... been focusing on at school? What are your classes like? Do you have classes in poetics? Do you have classes? Do you work with forms?
Warren Wilson program being a low residency program, most of the exchange is done through correspondence. So mm-hmm. I have a reading list, and I go through and I annotate different techniques for each book, and picking out, you know, stylistic choices or methods that I think are applicable to my own work. So those could really be anything that I choose. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of focus going back and forth with my advisor on revising my own original work. So mm-hmm. I put a large amount of time into that. I haven't worked a lot in forms because it's a pretty nice adaptable program. I happen to be really bad at forms, and mm-hmm. I happen to know that. So doing that yet.
In spite of your fondness for couplets and tercets.
Right, right. I haven't been doing as many couplets and
I actually noticed in the new work, it's more open formally, right, than it was.
So that, I guess that's an advantage of the program, getting me to try different things out.
Mm-hmm. Well, good, good. Well, read us another poem.
Okay. This is a fairly new one. I'm not sure that it won't change again, but I wanted to include something that I thought had a wider meaning. So it's called Against. The radio reception cuts out as the casualty count is announced, and I turn away from the main road, the high-powered light of branded signs, going slowly toward the treed hills. It doesn't feel like a fight. At the small shop, my friend plays piano. I pick over produce, choosing the seasonal squash, the shiitakes, from a farm I know in Sugar Camp. It doesn't feel like a fight. Sautéing them, my kitchen fills with the scent of butter. I try to say that simple desires, this dwelling in low-growing things, are acts of peace, and that's why it doesn't feel like a fight. But tonight, what does feel are gills against my tongue, separating and soft, like flesh. Food, a farm, a patch of forest, what are they against this? Does the soldier say, it doesn't feel like a fight? When the shrapnel's flung wide.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So we live in interesting times, as I suppose every generation does. And we're in the midst of a war as a country that impacts most of us very little, that we have mostly contact with through media. We haven't been called upon to... save our scrap metal to make tanks or any of that that previous generations went through. But so, yeah, I honor your response to that.
Thank you. And I think it's also interesting to think about the choices that you make that you think are a part of living a meaningful life, but then still when you look at some of the other choices that other people are making, yours seem relatively small comparison.
Yeah. But so that's okay too. Yeah. I mean, the domestic is always small, and that's the focus of so much of your work. I mean, in lots of ways, you're a domestic poet.
It is.
Yeah.
Because I think that's in some ways all I can write about, at least. Anything that's too big isn't a poem to me anymore. It's a platform.
Yeah. Yeah. But. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm mostly a domestic poet myself. So, and that's where we all start. We all have homes. We all, have personal, private lives, whatever they may be, that serve as the most immediate context of everything we say and do. So, yeah, yeah. Well, let's hear one more.
Okay. Own. I fooled and made them flightless, and this was my proudest time. The chickens. I chased and pinned them to my ground, then spread the wings and cut the edges of the longest feathers, flat. I took the gold-filled eggs and snuck in hollow, ceramic fakes. The hens didn't know the difference and continued, proud and clucking, to bring fragile, unfinished offspring to me. My fences and clipping were ways of loving what would nest in a box, lay without thinking of loss. Can you fault me, or the hens, or a turtle, crossing the highway, hearing cars coming, hunkering and pulling in to her shell, home, heavy on her back, framed from her own ribs? She could not disobey the nature that said to stop here, and believed, being hard, staying low, and not moving, would best let her live. Thank you.
And we're back in the studio with Rose McClarney and Sebastian Matthews on boards. Thank you, Sebastian. Yee. So let's see. This is, I should say again, WPVM 103.5 LPFM in Asheville, North Carolina, and you're listening to Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. We've got some events coming up in the next couple weeks. There's a poetrio, I can't remember the names of the poets, coming up at Malaprops, I believe, on the 4th of November, which is still like 2 weeks away, but pretty close. And then Robert Morgan is going to be reading there on the 11th, the Sunday. After that, he's going to be reading from his new biography of Daniel Boone, which is going to be interesting. I actually heard him read over in Hendersonville a couple months ago, and interesting stuff. Yeah. And then, of course, Marvin Bell. That's coming up when? This Thursday?
7:30 at UNCA.
7:30 at UNCA. So there you go. That's Marvin Bell. Yeah, you ought to hear Marvin Bell. He's good. Has been for years. So good, good. If you have an event coming up, do let us know. You can check our blog, leave a comment on the blog. It's wordplayradio.blogspot.com, and we'll put it on the air. All right. Well, Rose, how do you work? You've got a new poem for us. Let's hear the new poem.
Okay.
Okay?
Very new.
Very new.
This is my disclaimer.
Like, this is this week, right?
This is this weekend.
This weekend? Yeah, right.
But hopefully it provides some perspective on the other ones, if nothing else.
Okay.
It's called Bass Tones. Once it was the city warehouse district I wanted. Flyers, spray paint, piss, the shadow of past purpose. Conveyor belt, food locker, loom. Thick on the walls like lichen, like it is on the barn wood that roughs my skin now. It's not about milk, soft fur, or wholesomeness, my adult love of failing farms. It's chains on the gate, boots, the same bass smells, animal grunts. At those late parties, all the music was played with only 3 chords. Such simplicity I still want, so lead life by a string, a herd of goats going out to graze. That crowd raised fists as if they had a grasp around some solidarity against. When I reach now for an apple, an egg, I almost hope it will still be hot from the body of a mother, or crush, shell sharp on the fingertips, wet to the wrist with yolk. Feedback, feed sack, it's imagining that we may stop the success of the world the way it is by choosing what's discarded and probably dirty and pure.
Interesting. So that's like from a couple days ago. And I like it. It's a little, I understand. What do you think is going to happen to it?
It will get shorter.
It will get shorter. Is that the way you work?
Everything gets shorter.
Everything gets shorter. Right. Yeah. So when do you work? Do you work during the day? Do you work at night?
Well, I work, I have the full-time office job, so it is necessarily mm-hmm. at night that I work and on weekends. That's good in some ways because it's taught me to work in my head a lot of the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm constantly trying to fix lines in my mind. I do a lot of driving and a lot of walking and a lot of running, and usually I give myself an assignment, especially with running. I'll give myself a stanza or something.
Mm-hmm.
You got a couple miles. Figure this out.
Figure this out. Right, yeah. Right. Do you work in longhand? Do you
Never.
Write? No, you always write?
If I work in longhand, it's a mess. It's much more tempting to leave things there if you've actually gone to the labor of
writing them down.
Whereas if it's on a keyboard, you just...
Hit the delete key and it's gone.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. But you seem like such an orderly person. I can't imagine your longhand drafts being totally a mess, as you say.
Well, I write like an old man with arthritis, I would say. But that's aside from the point.
I bet.
that was a flip answer. I still think I tend to be pretty pithy no matter what, but I just like to take out as many small words as possible, and those are more easily lost in longhand. They blend in,
uh-huh.
I think.
Condensari.
Yes.
Condensari. Right. One of the ancient tools of poetry to condense. Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we'll have you back on again, and you can read the new version of this.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Yeah, I want to see how it gets condensed.
All right.
Indeed. Well, do you have one more you could read?
Yeah, I do. This one's called Admission. Geese pass, their shadow shape a point. Honking, I am here, behind you, in the break in the wind you make. It is not a lonely sound. Do not look for loneliness, some hard pit in every center. Their minds are all flight, in tight formation, toward feeding. To the question, how is it, really? Allow the admission, good. The truth can be gritty, with dust flung from wings, mica bright river sand, fine seeds from floating lilies.
Nice. Still a lot of, you're working so much, as you always have, with images of the natural world, with, that's, do you study the natural world? I mean, do you consciously dig into it? I mean, do you read botanies? Do you read?
Well, I grew up with the scientists. My father's a biologist, I think I got used to a certain way of looking at things. And I, as we mentioned, I think I live in Marshall, so I live in a pretty rural area, and I spend most of my time by myself. So I'm looking at things. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural way of being. It's certainly not a study of hard science. And I think one reason that that natural imagery interests me, because actually I sort of shied away from it for a long time because I think it's easily done badly, but is that it's sort of timeless. And so if you write about an animal or a plant, there's less chance that next year the thing that you attached importance to will actually have...
require a footnote.
Right.
Right.
Or turn out to be disposable.
Right, right. Some a bit of ephemeral fluff of some sort. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's much to learn about the natural world. I mean, the specificity of the way things live is sometimes just fascinating. I mean, there are lots of different interesting critters and plants out there, not of all of which work the same way.
No.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Well, this is really interesting stuff. I think you're, still doing interesting work. You were doing interesting work a year ago, and you're doing even more interesting work now. Who are some poets whom you're reading and who've made a difference for you?
I always have to refer to Louise Glück for the tone that she has and the sparseness that she has. I think that I probably try to say very different things and draw very different conclusions about the world than she does.
Mm-hmm.
But I admire her approach. Been reading a lot of Robert Haas, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
Maybe you can.
Yeah, Bob Haas.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot of that lately for, there was a Louise Glück essay I just read about him. She said he was one of the few poets who had inhabited, as an adult, a sunlit world. And mm-hmm. I guess which is a response to the Frost quote that most poets are acquainted with the night, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's been interesting to read his work and watch how close he comes to being sentimental and just how he always manages to stay just a step away. So I've been enjoying a lot of that. Seamus Heaney, I enjoy a lot of the focus on functional subject matter, like pumps and scaffolding and things. It's interesting to me to see how he deals with those.
Sure.
William Stafford.
Oh, yeah. William Stafford. Yeah. Wonderful.
For being almost more of an admirable person than an extremely refined poet.
That's
what I get out of it.
Yeah. But when he came along, he was opening. It's easy to say now that Stafford and even Robert Bly and James Wright, it's like old stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's useful to remember that when they came along, they were doing stuff that nobody in American poetry had been doing for quite a long time. And but Stafford is one of the, I still read Stafford myself. Yeah, great work, great work.
And a poem a day, too, a piece.
Yeah, right, right. Incredible. He must have written, 10,000 poems or something like that.
And he has really great poems because they manage to address what might be called issues in some way without beating you over the head with them. And
right.
You don't even realize that you're, for instance, one of his anti-war poems is about getting a drink at a soda fountain, and you think you're just reading about getting a drink at the soda fountain. Till the end, he says, I walk towards the elevator man, and it's because it's about desegregation mm-hmm. and where he chooses to go mm-hmm. with his drink. So he's very subtle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that might be why writing every day can allow that. Is that you don't have to work so hard to stand on a platform. You just...
Right.
You're writing every day and things come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have one more for us, or are we pushing it your limit here?
We got time for one more. I can read this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
I'll say it's fiction.
Any resemblance to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
I've purely co-opted them. The title is Concrete Knowledge. We walk a bridge under construction. You tell me about concrete and speak with sadness of the time when the way of making this material was lost, 13 crumbling centuries after the Romans. You've been near crying over crooked door frames and windows wrongly hung. You can't just put trim over bad work. I've spent the afternoon attaching adjectives to the image of your straining back. I bend beside the backhoe as your sandpaper hand, split by days of scraping, holds mine over the fresh concrete so I can feel heat rising as it cures. To keep concrete from cracking, I know the Romans mixed in blood. This is all I can add to our exchange. You won't understand my spread fingers, how the space between could help by letting yours lace in as you do the bridge. Its arch looks vacant, but the gentle shape bears such weight.
Nice, nice. Well, this has been Wordplay. I'm Jeff Davis, and today we've been joined by host Sebastian Matthews. Hello, Sebastian. And Rose McLarney, our wonderful guest today. Wordplay rebroadcast Tuesdays at 6, Wednesday mornings at 7. That's Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Wednesday mornings at 7. But it's available all the time, 24/7, from the station's website, wpvm.org. Just go to the archive page.
Thanks for coming in, Rose.
Thank you.
Thanks much.